Yeah, that's the podium.
That's the Dunkin' Donuts.
I like the, is that for me?
That's for you. That's for you.
The Dunkin' Donuts, I love it. Is there one near here?
I had to go down the street out of my hotel.
Oh, it's yours.
Yeah, it's mine. Did you want one?
I did, actually. So tomorrow morning, that would be great.
Hindsight being 20/20.
Just milk, no sugar.
How are you?
Morning.
You want to start? You want to start with any remarks, or you want us to just fire away?
What, why don't you call them the way you like? It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with your favorite tight end, Rob Gronkowski, after the Super Bowl. He had mentioned he's going to weigh his sort of future options. Have you heard from him that he plans on playing for the Patriots in 2018?
Well, I saw him a few weeks ago come into the building after hours. But, you know, I should say one thing. When it comes to Gronk, I've met a lot of people in my life. I've never met anyone like him. And if the good Lord lets us come back as someone, I've said it before, he's the most carefree, happy, up kind of guy. And I must say, I sort of got excited seeing him vault up on Shaq's shoulders. So for a guy that size, to be able to hop up on a 7'2" or whatever Shaq is, it's pretty cool. So that speaks well about his potential athletic moves this coming year.
And just to follow up with one second, what we hear in the media from a lot of fans who emotionally invest in the team is just some emptiness on the way the Super Bowl unfolded with Malcolm Butler, just that he didn't play. And they were, you know, asking for clarity. You know, why didn't he play? What were you seeking clarity, and what have you learned about that that maybe you could relay to the fans that are curious as to why that player, you know, didn't play on defense?
Well, putting my fan hat on, which is on most of the time when I'm watching games, the fact that we lost and we lost the way we did, you know, I still haven't gotten over it. But when it comes to Malcolm, I have a unique spot for him. I had hoped he would be a Patriot for all his days. I think that play at the end of the Seattle Super Bowl is iconic. I think he'll be in the memory bank of our fans for the next 50 years, and you know what he did. And he's such a humble, nice young man. I was thinking about it, he was making, what, $8.50 an hour at Popeyes, and 7 months later he's making the biggest play in the history of Super Bowls, in my opinion. And he's a great guy. I'm just sorry it didn't work out for him with us, but I'm happy he got the contract he got, and he's doing it with some Patriot-related people up in Tennessee, and Vrabel and the GM. And so I wish him well, and I'll miss him.
Robert, I just wanted to ask one more on Malcolm. With the fan hat on, though, is there a point at which you say, this is a player who played a lot for us, and he was a very valuable player, but he didn't go on the field. Did you get a satisfactory answer as to why this player was never playing in that game?
Yeah, well, with my fan hat on, you can come up with all kinds of reasons or things, but here's the deal. You know, we in New England are privileged to, I believe, have the greatest coach in the history of coaching. And, you know, we're involved in a number of businesses in our family, and we're in 95 countries in the world. And we try to encourage to have good managers. We want them to be bold. We want them to take risks. And, you know, sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But I have faith in Bill as a coach that I don't think there's anyone who has the football knowledge and expertise combined with understanding personnel. No one can merge those two worlds. And you know, he's done pretty well for us over the last 18 years. So as a fan, you know, I can question some of the moves. As someone who's privileged to be the owner of this team, I encourage him to keep going with his instincts and doing what he thinks is right. There's no doubt in my mind, even if he made an error, and this is true with any of our managers, that if they're doing it for the right reason, then I support it 100%. And I have never had one instance in the 18 years where Bill hasn't done what he believes is in the best interest of our team and help us to win games.
Robert, obviously there was a lot made last year about some of the tension behind the scenes. I think at the Super Bowl you even admitted that there was some tension. Just how would you characterize right now the relationship between you and Bill and Tom Brady, everything going on there?
Okay, so that word tension. You know, I've owned the team 24 seasons. When you think about it, in any relationship, and I've had Bill as a head coach for 18 of those seasons. When I think about tension, I think about my first year as an owner. And I love Bill Parcells, but, you know, if you knew him as a coach, the players walked on eggshells. And maybe ownership did, you know, as we went down the learning curve of how to get along. And it was a great lesson for me to learn and train and try to understand how to be a good owner and at the same time how to work with a very strong and powerful coach. And I think, you know, the so-called tension gets greater when you lose. We were 10-6 our first year. The second year at 5-11, we really had tension in my second year ownership. And I found that to be true. I mean, when I use that's a pejorative term. I mean, in any successful business, in a marriage, if you have a good relationship, there's going to be things where you disagree. But hopefully, you know, you come together and you have a meeting of the minds and you discuss things. And if everyone's all on the same page, usually things don't go as well.
Have you spoken with Tom at all? Because in his documentary, he seemed a little down after the Super Bowl. Are you confident his head's in the right place and everything?
Well, I talk to Tom a lot. I think anyone right after a Super Bowl loss is, you know, fortunately we've had the privilege to go to 9 of them. So probably we're not quite as jaded, but the loss, except for the win of the first one, when you lose, the feeling of losing is worse than the feeling of winning, at least. And I think Tommy's in that category. And, you know, I think Coach has been wise, and he's told players and people that you don't make any decisions or go public with feelings in that few weeks after a Super Bowl loss. On the other hand, that piece that Tom did, I think, was a great piece for our fans. And I think we as a league have to do more of that. I think we have to focus on the game on the field and player safety. And then I think we got to bring fans more into our world so they can see how great these players are. They wear helmets, but 98% of NFL players are awesome people, team people, and people who know how to get along with people of different backgrounds, and they work hard, and they get banged around, and they stay together. And I just think this game, it's a privilege to own a NFL franchise, and it's a great statement of, you know, what life today really is and how you come together and make great things happen.
There's a dichotomy between...
I'm going to go with the lovely young lady.
Thank you. Have you had that collective meeting with Coach Belichick and Tom that you talked about?
Yes, we've had the meeting, and just to be clear, I don't know, things sort of, it's like we have meetings all the time, and we're not a big bureaucratic organization, so we're a private company. We don't have boards, we answer to the fans the best we can. And we met, and I meet individually with each of them. But the thing that I don't know if it's completely understood, that Bill and Tom communicate and meet a lot and spend a lot of time communicating. And I think the residual of this loss, you know, was really hard on everyone. But I sort of see that as a high-class problem, because I sat in the stands when we never were in the playoffs at home for 20-odd years.
Was it hard for you to see Tom sit there and say, why am I doing this? Why am I getting this treatment just a few days after? And seemingly just a little bit conflicted. And then additionally, you talked about how important it is for people to be able to see the players. That kind of is a split from what Bill has espoused over the time that he's owned the team. And we want to have one
board. Bill is on the team?
I apologize.
No, I didn't know. If you knew something I didn't know.
No.
You're paying him
well, but I'm sure it's not that well. You can't buy the thing. But since Bill has coached the team, he's espoused, look, we're going to be a one-voice operation. We don't need the players out front first. And Tom being out there with some of these things kind of runs afoul of that to a degree.
Well, this is not an engineering firm where everything's A, B, C, D. I think that Bill's structure is pretty good most of the time and has worked pretty well. Think about this. Someone had told you 10 years ago that Tom Brady would be quarterbacking a team that would go to 7 straight conference championship games. And when he was 40 years old, he'd be playing in a Super Bowl and be the MVP of the league. How many people would have bought into it? So I think there are adjustments. You know, part of the NFL under the salary cap era, if you want to be good and you want to have quality product, is you have to be willing to adjust quickly. You can't have fixed situations. Might have worked in the past, but things change. We have a guy quarterbacking our team, and then we have players coming in who are 5 or 6 years old who watched him on TV, and you know they're starry-eyed. So how do you do that? How do you get the chemistry right so that they feel comfortable? So we'll try to go with the flow and work things around.
Josh is back as your next year. How important is that continuity on the coaching staff?
Oh, that is very important. I can't tell you how happy I am he's coming back. You know, I think he's the best offensive coordinator and has shown that when he's been with us. And he has a great football intellect, and we're really happy he decided to stay with us.
As a league and as a group of owners, where do you need to go next on the national anthem policy and the conversations about it?
Yeah, well, it is a sensitive, complicated issue, and we're going to deal with it at our May meeting, and I think that's the time for me to speak out on it.
Robert, given Tom's age and the fact that you guys traded Jimmy Garoppolo, is finding a quarterback in the draft a high priority for you guys this year?
You know, I'm going to put my fan hat on. And, you know, obviously at some point we have to, because not just that, but you think about it. Think what happened in the 08 season when in the first quarter against Kansas City, Tom goes out. And how many people would have said that Matt Cassel would have led us to an 11-5 season. So, once again, I put my faith and confidence in Bill, and he knows his responsibilities, and anything can happen. Even if Tom comes in tip-top shape, you know, part of why the networks pay us the funding they do And the reason this is the best entertainment product in America is you don't know. One play can change a whole season. One play with one person. So, you know, to do a good job managing an NFL franchise, we've always said, understanding quality depth management. That's our business, quality depth management. Knowing that we have a salary cap, and you know, how do you balance that and have the depth you need. And I think you can see it in part. Bill has a great knowledge base on special teams and has been able to stress that, and I think we've always had very, let's say, in the top 25% of special teams. But that's the bottom third of our roster, too, that, God forbid, if players get injured, he can bring those players in to play.
A couple final questions, guys. For the Panthers so far, what's that say about the league and the health of it, that $2.5 billion is out there right now? And a follow-up on that is, what do you think the legacy of Jerry Richardson will be?
I didn't hear the first part.
The first part, the bidding, reportedly $2.5 billion. What's that say about the health of the league right now?
Well, I think the health of the league is great, really, because of the great fan support we have. And I don't think we can ever forget that without the fans, we have nothing. What's happened in Carolina since the expansion team came there and the way that community has supported the team, you know, has been terrific. I don't like to comment on financial things till I see something transact, so I'm going to just leave it at that.
Robert, what about Jerry Richardson? Do you think his legacy will be?
I can't, you know. Jerry Richardson is legacy. Well, I can just speak for myself that he is, he did very good things in the NFL, and all the contact I've had with him has been very positive. So.
What's your impression of the progress of the sale, Mr. Brown?
I'm sorry?
Have owners been updated on the progress of the sale, and what's your impression of the proceedings?
Yes, we've been, they made they updated a presentation, and I think they're hoping by our May meeting that they'll have a finalist to present.
Why was it important for you to donate the jet to help the Parkland students get up to the protest?
I'm sorry?
Why was it important to donate the jet to help the Parkland students?
Oh, nice. Yeah, you know, okay. Mark Kelly, who's Gabby Gifford's wife, I've had the pleasure of being with them, and I was thinking, how sick is it that a woman is donating her life to public service and then is injured in a way that's permanent by something that is so unfortunate and cuckoo. And, you know, I have a big problem with what's going on in Washington and the divisiveness, and no one's listening to one another and forgetting where you stand on this issue. When they called and asked, you know, where would you send a plane to help take the wounded kids and their families, and kids who couldn't go on a normal plane because it's not right. And, you know, we didn't hesitate in a minute, because think, all of you who have kids, think about losing one of your kids who you wake up in the morning, they go to school and they don't come home at night. And we had a plant right near Sandy Hook, and I had a chance to get involved in a few things there and see how it impacted the parents. And I just thought this is a way for our organization to be able to reach out to these people who were hurting bad. I mean, I can't think of a worse unnatural thing than losing a child. But think of little kids going to school and seeing bullets in America go over their head. It's something's not right, and we got to fix it. And congratulations to these kids for trying to get the attention of this country focused on it. And I hope our friends in Washington are smart enough to figure out a way to listen to one another and do something that can be positive.
Who called and asked, sir? Who called and asked for the use of the plane?
Mark Kelly, the astronaut, Gabby Gifford. Well, she asked through Mark, and I've had a chance to see them a few times, and they're wonderful people. And it, every time I see her and I think how she has been slowed down a little in public service of the country, that's nuts. How are we going to get good people? So we have to have empathy and a sense of concern for all points of view, for all people, and be good listeners. And I thought this, in a small way, allowed us to do that. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks a lot.